Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Wakey, wakey. It's the few, the proud, and those who have survived the fantasy playoffs up till now. Welcome to another edition of Fantasy Football Insiders. 2 hours of power, commercial free. I am Rostradamus Ross Mandel, joined by the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Say hello to the people, good Rev.
Down the stretch we come. Good morning.
Exactly. It's time, man. I mean, listen, it's either the semifinals, the quarterfinals, or maybe even in some instances the finals, but it is the fantasy postseason right now. We're here to guide you through, bring home the ring, put the trophy in the case, everything you got. Let me take care of some housekeeping before we get into it. Next week, all the games on Saturday, we will be on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., not Sunday. Do not wake up at early on Sunday morning. We will not be here. I'll probably throw a repeat of the show on for your benefit, but the show will take place on Saturday at 10 a.m., a little later than usual. You could sleep in, have some breakfast, but we will be here for you before the games next Saturday at 10 a.m. All right, that's that. Now, Rev, let's briefly touch on these quote-unquote games that have taken place already this week. On Thursday night, the Falcons steamrolled over the Jags, and last night the Cowboys pretty much had their way with the Tampa Bay Bucks. First, let's talk about this Falcon game. I mean, Rev, do we learn anything from Atlanta? Are we supposed to buy into them now since they had this great victory and Matt Ryan played so well?
Well, I don't think you take away too much from it. I mean, Jacksonville was clearly the inferior team. And for the people that were worried that Jacksonville was going to give them some type of game just because they pretty much, you know, kicked the crap out of Tampa Bay a week earlier, look, this just goes to show you that that game between Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, that was just an indicator of how bad Tampa Bay is and how Tampa Bay has given up on their coach and given up on their fans. You know, to me, it was no contest. And even going into that game, and you saw the one thing that would worry me about the Falcons, maybe from a fantasy standpoint and also from a reality standpoint, is really, you know, the play of Matt Ryan. While he had great stats, I mean, he really wasn't playing against anybody, and you still saw some inconsistent throws from time to time. I just can't trust the guy to put him up in that elite level, you know, to put him up there with an Aaron Rodgers or even, I don't know, even with a Matt Stafford maybe. I don't trust the guy yet. He makes inconsistent throws. And you saw there were a couple of times where, you know, he could have turned over the ball. But because he was playing against Jacksonville, he really had nothing to worry about. His receivers had great games. He's got great weapons around him. But I still need to see more out of Matt Ryan.
I completely agree about Matt Ryan, although the one thing that I am taking from this game is that Julio Jones definitely is creating room for Roddy White. We haven't seen that in a while. Roddy White pretty much was running all over the place. And that's because early in the game, Julio Jones made a catch and pretty much hit the turbo blasters and flew into the end zone. And I think that loosened up the coverage on Roddy White. That may happen in the playoffs. I think other teams who will be in the playoffs will have more coverage in their secondary than did Jacksonville, because that was some pretty pathetic coverage. All right, and the Cowboys last night, I mean, look, is there anything more predictable than what happened in that game last night? You know, Dallas shot themselves in the foot once again. I don't know how they have any feet left after shooting themselves in it so many times over the years. But, yeah, of course they beat Tampa Bay. What did you think was going to happen? They're going to beat Tampa Bay. They're going to go into the last week of the season needing to win to make the playoffs against the Giants, and then they're going to choke. That's how they work. I mean, I was not surprised by anything that happened last night. Tony Romo had a fantasy game in about 17 minutes of gameplay last night in the first half. 3 throwing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. They took the foot off the gas. They didn't need to do anything else. All his receivers were involved. Robinson caught one. Austin caught one that really shouldn't have been a touchdown, and Mayock was right about that. and Dez Bryant barely hung on to one, and then Romo ran one in for good measure. Felix Jones looked lively. Look, we know what this team is, Rev. Did we learn anything new about the Cowboys last night?
Well, no, it was all very predictable, as you said. I mean, you knew that they were going to put up those offensive numbers. You knew all the stars were going to look good against Tampa Bay, which, again, has given up on their coach and has given up on their fans and are just not putting up a good effort out there. But the one thing I wanted to see from the Dallas Cowboys was I wanted to see their defense step up. And really, I think, you know, Rob Ryan, in my opinion, he's riding his brother's coattails. He's got this reputation of being this great defensive mind, when in reality, I haven't seen much from this defense. You know, they showed you some plays early on in the game. They had three sacks. But they also show you that you can easily move the ball on this team. And, you know, that I think, you know, beyond Tony Romo and beyond the offense and the team's inconsistencies, what worries me the most about this Dallas Cowboys team moving forward as they continue making their playoff run is the defense. I just don't trust the defense. I don't like that defense. It hasn't shown me enough. Outside of a couple of big playmakers, you know, guys like Sean Lee and DeMarcus Ware, I just don't see this defense, you know, being the type of unit that that's going to make enough big plays and going to be enough of a shutdown type of group that's going to give you any confidence.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, Ware has been Ware. You know, he's been fantastic. But the other so-called big names on that defense have, and, you know, Sean Lee is a new one and he's played well. But other than he and Ware, you know, the defense to me is like Rob Ryan. You know, if Rob Ryan's name was Jim Smith, and the Cowboys defense was, you know, from Sacramento, no one would be talking about either of them as being any good. I mean, Rob Ryan's done nothing to me. He's mediocre. This defense is mediocre, and that's being complimentary. When we get into the playoffs, we're going to see this secondary absolutely shredded. The best thing that could happen to the Cowboys if they make the playoffs is that they play San Francisco because they won't test the secondary as much as pretty much any other team. But we get ahead of ourselves. We're going to hop in to the Week 15 games, but you know how it works here. First, we're going to go to the phone lines, and I got a 609 caller, and I want to hear that he's still in the playoffs. What's going on?
My brother's from three different mothers. The Alpha Jersey House is in the playoffs again. We're in the semis. I'm in both mine and Young
now
Junior's in his. Young Junior may listen to the big Alpha man, but the only Alpha difference that Young Junior didn't do, I told him to go with Julio. I make the plays Jones over Dez. I don't know if I see the ball Bryant. So he got 14 from Dez. He stayed with him, and Julio gave him 19. But, hey, no here or there. I told him don't play Blunt, and he didn't play Blunt. So he's going to take down the Roan man, who was 13-1. He tied with my son. Gave his only loss, and I saw him at the supermarket. I said, yo, brother, Hess is going to take you down. And he said, yeah, I'm scared, man. Your son's going to take me down this week, I think.
I love hearing some pathmark trash talk, baby.
Oh man, it makes it fun. But yeah, Junior's pretty good. Like I said, I think he'll be okay. In my situation, what I wanted to ask you is, I'm going to go with Colston, and I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson this week. I'm going to sit Jordy Nelson. You know, my PPR league with that stuff, and I'm going to sit V-Jack. But my tight end situation is, I wanted to ask you, do I go with Keller again? I actually sat Daniels, and he went off last week, and Keller didn't do much. Who do you like in that situation? I mean, since Andre Johnson's out, will that young quarterback look to Daniels again this week, or could Sanchez look to Keller going against the Eagles?
Oh, brother. I, to me, that's a very close call.
Because Eagles usually struggle against the tight end.
Yeah, I think I would ride the hot hand. I don't know what the deal is with Sanchez and Keller. I mean,
right.
Early in the season, they appear to have a solid chemistry, and I do think that Keller will be a little bit of a factor today. But, man, the Jets are running the ball well, and I think you're onto something with T.J. Yates feeling comfortable with Daniels. I mean, I watched that game, and it seemed like he caught a pass on every possession. I think he had 7 for 100 or something like that. And that's a big
thing. Yeah.
Rev, what do you think? I mean, I would go with Daniels, but it's very close to me.
I'm not really high on either guy this week, but I think I would go with Daniels just because Keller is so unpredictable. I mean, it's hard to guess when he's really going to step up and have a big game. So, look, you don't want to take any chances at this point of the season, so I would go with Daniels.
I'll do that. In my standard league, a little bit of a messier situation. I did keep Miles Austin. I'm going to go with Steve, you know, Johnson of Buffalo, because Macklin, I just can't trust it. And who knows
with
Cromartie
right.
or who's going to be on him there. So I got that pretty much answered. But here's my dilemma. I got Chris Johnson already in there. I got three guys to choose from as my RB2. Right now I do have Kevin Smith in there, but I can choose from Tate, and I can also choose from Hillis. Tate, I don't know what he's going to do against Carolina. I mean, who the heck knows there? We don't know if Smith's going to stay healthy, but he could be a nice play against Oakland. Hillis,
I wouldn't even consider Hillis. I wouldn't consider Hillis because, first of all, you don't know how healthy he is. He's
right.
going to be splitting carries, and he's going up against a tough defense. The Cardinals are one of those defenses that has been rising up in recent weeks. And, you know, can you really picture Cleveland putting up a lot of points? They never do. So,
right.
to me, it's between Smith and Tate. And, you know, I think Tate is the safer guy. Obviously, he's got a great matchup. But Smith is a guy with some very high upside.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing that, you know, the guy practiced well this week, and you're hearing that he's going to start this week. And I'm actually starting him in a couple of leagues because I was one of those unfortunate DeMarco Murray owners who has really no place else to turn to. But here's a guy, Kevin Smith, I think that if he stays healthy throughout the game, I think he should be able to put up some big yards today.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Rev. Kevin Smith is healthy. He's going to start from everything that I've read. And, man, what a great matchup he's got going against Oakland, who hasn't stopped anybody against the run. You can't start Hillis. His season is lost completely. I think this is definitely the way to go. I like Ben Tate this week a little bit, but, you know, he's getting backup carries. He may have 10 carries. Kevin Smith's going to touch the ball all day. The Oakland's not going to be able to stop him at all. And look, even if he only stays healthy for two quarters, he could still have 80 yards and a touchdown to me.
All right, I'll keep Kevin Smith in there. But like I said, guys, I appreciate your help, man. You know, we got three leagues where we're in the semis, two of me and one for Junior that he's in. So like I said, things are going good. Hopefully, we'll talk one way or another next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Anyway, I heard you.
There you go. Look at that. He knows what side he's on. He's ready.
Oh man, no. That's what you're in the semis, man. He listens. You know what I mean?
Got it.
That's what you got to do. You got to. Oh,
all right,
and
man.
I did take CJ Spiller. Thank God I did, because Sean Green went off twice. Who would have thought Sean Green would have went off 2 weeks in a row? Who would have thought that? But I
well,
played
it might be, it might be three after this week, but we'll get to that game a little later, man.
I'll let you guys go. Best of luck to you guys this weekend. Thanks again, as usual. Hopefully we'll be talking Saturday morning, guys, one way or another. Enjoy your weekend.
All right.
Take care. Be safe.
All right.
Have a happy holiday.
Jersey in the house. Happy holidays to him and everyone else that's listening. Rev, let's jump into the games here, and let's get this one out of the way as quickly as possible. Cincinnati, looking pretty sharp, probably a year away, but they will play hard going into St. Louis, taking on the Rams, who pretty much had as many wins as you and me, Rev. You got to love Cedric Benson here. I mean, I think I could run for a buck against the Rams' 32nd-ranked run defense. These guys are giving up 157 yards per game on the ground. To me, that signifies not only that there's a lack of talent, but there's somewhat of a lack of effort. And that's not good for Coach Spags. I think Benson's good for at least 100 yards and a score in this game. Injury here, Sam Bradford is probably not going to play. I don't want to say definitely because anything's possible until you're officially out. But it looks like, Rev, your old friend Kellen Clemens is going to get the start. I think I'd rather have Roger Clemens start for me if I were the Rams. Another stud in this game to me, looking good, rookie A.J. Green. The Rams' secondary is much better than their run defense. I think Green is good for a long score here in this game. And, of course, best for last for me. I love the Bengals' defense in this game. How could he not with Clemens starting, as I mentioned? The Rams barely score 10 points a game, and now you're going to throw Clemens in there? You must be joking me. I think this is an easy double-digit game for the Cincinnati defense. I love them here. If for some crazy reason they're available on your waiver wire, grab them. If you're debating whether to start them over anybody, there's a very short list of teams I'd start ahead of them. Put them in. The dud to me is Brandon Lloyd, and it's really not his fault. But, again, the quarterback play determines a lot of what happens with your wide receiver, and there's not a lot of quarterback play coming out of the Gateway City these days. You know, with Sam Bradford last week, he had 5 catches for 82 yards. I think you can cut that in half this week. You know, 3 catches, maybe 55 yards, 40 yards, something like that. It's not going to be good for the Rams offense, not that it has been all season. The sleeper here, you know, I'd be willing to roll the dice on Andy Dalton. He hasn't thrown a pick in 3 games. The Rams are susceptible to the pass. The run is going to set it up. I think 200 yards, maybe 220, and a couple of touchdowns is good for Dalton today. I think the Bengals cruise in this game, Rev, 24-6. Do you think St. Louis scores a touchdown with your boy Kellen Clemens?
Yeah, he might be the worst quarterback in the NFL this side of Tyler Palco. Not too many points for St. Louis in this one. I'm going to go with Cincinnati here, 23-9.
I mean, honestly, the quarterback play in the state of Missouri, have you ever seen the like of it between Kansas City and St. Louis? You must be kidding me. We're going to see better quarterback play at least on one end as the New York football Giants welcome in their division rivals, Washington Redskins, with Sexy Rexy. Should I be nervous sitting there freezing my rear end off at the Meadowlands today, Rev? What's going on?
Yeah, you might be nervous for maybe a quarter or two, but I think ultimately the Giants should run away with this one. Look, if you're looking for studs, look no further than Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem the Dream has been good for 7 to 8 catches over the past 3 weeks for yardage numbers of 87, 88, and 163 yards. There's no reason to sit him versus the Redskins, who allowed him to put up 122 yards the last time they faced him in week one. I think Santana Moss is a stud also. The former Miami Hurricane is starting to heat up. He gained 81 yards and scored a touchdown last week, which was his best performance since returning from a hand injury in week 12. And the Giants' secondary is an awful group. In fact, only the Patriots have given up more fantasy points to wide receivers than the G-men. Roy Helu is another stud here. Say hello to the bad guy. He recorded 3 straight 100-yard games in a row. And the Giants have given up 4.7 yards per carry against the run. This kid has tremendous burst, and I think it could really hurt Big Blue on the perimeter. The dud here, I know that we saw Brandon Jacobs have a great game last week. Actually, I've never seen Jacobs run better than he did versus the Cowboys last week as far as the 2011 season is concerned. But let's not forget, you know, part of the reason why he was on fire last week was because Ahmad Bradshaw lost a lot of playing time due to a team violation. Jacobs, to me, is a rhythm runner, and he picks up his play when he's being constantly fed the ball, with, you know, and he gets a lot of carries. He's one of those guys who keeps getting better and better once you give him more and more carries. He's a volume runner. But with Ahmad Bradshaw back in there and the way he's going to be splitting carries this week, I just don't see him having that same type of game he had last week. So if you have a better option, go with the other option. I think the sleeper here is Jake Ballard. The big Buckeye chipped in with 52 yards and a touchdown versus Dallas, and today faces a Washington team that gives up the second most fantasy points per game to tight ends. I mean, no, he's not going to match what Gronkowski did versus the Skins, but I think he should put up 50 to 60 yards and maybe a touchdown. You take a look at Washington's safety duo there. They got Reed Dowdy and rookie Dejon Gomes back there. It's very shaky, and I think that Jake Ballard could take advantage of the way the Redskins are set up there in the secondary this week. I like the Giants here. I'm going to go Big Blue 33, Washington 23.
Yeah, I have the Giants winning too. Maybe it's the paranoia in me as a Giant fan, but I had a 24-20 Giants. I think it'll be close in the fourth quarter just to make everybody sit there until the very end. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point about Jacobs, and he did look impressive last week, but, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw, as far as I know, is not going to be suspended for the entire first half this week. And, you know, maybe him coming back lit a little bit of a fire underneath Brandon Jacobs, but he wasn't tiptoeing last week. He was turning it upfield and hitting the hole hard. And that can only be good for the Giants as they play these last few games of the season. Let's hit the chat room, Rev. America's Guest, check it in. Good to hear from you. I see Chicago Beers and Snake Eyes in there as well. America's Guest needs two of the following. He played Felix Jones last night. Pretty decent night for Felix, going over the century mark. Here he's got two from this group, Rev. C.J. Spiller against the Dolphins, Adrian Peterson against the Saints, Michael Bush against the Lions, Ryan Grant in Kansas City, Santana Moss at the Giants, or Antonio Brown at the Niners. I don't think you can go with either one of the receivers. I would consider Brown if I knew Roethlisberger was going to play and be like 70%, but I'm not sure of that, and I don't want to wait. Santana Moss, you know, his high end to me is 75 and a touchdown, and I think you can do better than that. I don't like the Green Bay running back situation ever. I mean, I know Grant looked sharp, but you can't rely on their ground game. C.J. Spiller's looked lively, but I'll tell you, man, I think you have the right two guys in there. I really like Michael Bush. I actually like Bush more than Adrian Peterson this week, but I think Bush and Peterson is the way to go here, Rev. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, actually, the only guy I don't like out of these names is C.J. Spiller. I think all of these other guys have good matchups, and I think they'll all do pretty well. But you have to stick with Adrian Peterson, and I think Bush is the guy to go with. I think he's got the right two guys in there, but certainly, I mean, you can make an argument for Ryan Grant being a nice flex play. I think Santana Moss is going to put up some decent yards, and Antonio Brown, despite Ben Roethlisberger being banged up, I still see him having a very good game. Also because the Steelers are not going to be able to run the ball tomorrow night, so if they're going to do anything, if they're going to score any points, it's going to be through the passing game. But yeah, he's got the right two guys in there, I think.
All right, very good. You know, speaking of Miami, we were talking about Kansas City briefly. What do you make of these coaches being fired mid-season? I mean, it used to be an unspoken rule that was just something that wasn't going to happen, that coaches would always finish the season. But, man, they're falling like flies, and I can't say, well, I mean, you could argue, but I have no problem with the Haley or Sperano firing. I don't see how Del Rio expected to keep his job, and frankly, I don't see how Raheem Morris still has a job. But do you have a problem with these midseason firing, Revs, or can you kind of understand it?
No, I take it by a case-by-case basis. I think with Sperano, I don't think he deserved to be fired this early just because he turned the season around. And look, you find a no bigger Miami Dolphin hater than myself, but, you know, you have to give the guy credit for – you know, kind of changing the way he coaches a little bit and giving his captains more of a voice on that team. And so the way Miami turned things around and everybody was, you know, talking about Andrew Luck being drafted and Miami Dolphins going winless this year, you know, I think you got to give him a little bit of credit for that turnaround. And as far as Haley goes, look, you could say he's a good coach, you could say he's a bad coach, but I also say that Scott Pioli has to take some of the blame there because – he did a bad job, you know, giving the guy some pretty bad depth on that team. And so once his big players went down with injuries, and I think a guy like Haley, he was pretty much handcuffed this season. And I do think he's a good coach, by the way. So in both cases, I think that both guys should have had a chance to at least stick around. I mean, look, say what you want about Haley. That team's got 5 wins. And so I think that in and of itself is an accomplishment. But you know, a guy like Raheem Morris, yeah, the guy should have been gone already. A guy like Jack Del Rio, yeah, he should have been fired a long time ago. So I take it on a case-by-case basis as far as, you know, these coaches being fired this early.
Yeah, I'm with you, and, you know, I hear what you're saying about Sperano, but the bottom line is, much like other teams that we see, the Dolphins started off so poorly that the pressure was completely removed, and it's not like they won 9 games in a row. I mean, they're still playing poorly, so I could get that. But Todd Haley, you know, I see what they're doing, and it might be that his personality's clashing with some of the players. But you know what? How's Chicago doing without their quarterback and running back? And I mean, that's the case with Todd Haley. You lose Castle. Look, he's not the best quarterback in the league, but he's certainly better than what they have now. And they lose Jamal Charles. And don't forget they lost Eric Berry.
And Tony Moyaki.
And Tony Moyaki, pretty up-and-coming tight end. And, I mean, look, you're right about the depth, But same thing with pretty much every team in the league. In other words, without Mark Sanchez, how do you think the Jets would be doing with Mark Brunell in there? It's very difficult to have a competent backup. You know, Detroit's fortunate. Cincinnati, there's only a handful of teams to me, the Cowboys, if...
look at Houston, though. Houston was hit with some injuries, and they did pretty well. They actually have pretty decent depth.
Exactly, but the way their team is set up, and we have yet to see what's going to end up happening with them, you know, they have depth at running back, and apparently they have some depth at quarterback, and who knows, maybe that Leinart injury was a blessing in disguise, because I've been pretty impressed from what I've seen out of young T.J. Yates. But, look, Haley had some injuries, but there's no excuses in the NFL, man. I mean, that team looked dead as a doornail. In a lot of their losses, they're losing by more than a few touchdowns. And, again, like Tampa Bay and like the Rams' run defense, to me, when that happens, it comes down to effort. And if it happens often enough, as it has with the Chiefs, I really can't get upset. But you're right, Pioli needs to take a hit, too. And it seems that these GMs – escape the wrath when it comes to the fans and when it comes to the cutting board. And I think the GMs need have a lot more to answer for than they have done in the past couple of years. All right. Speaking of injuries, big time fantasy player going to return from an injury, and that's Adrian Peterson. You have to have him in there. The Saints travel Minnesota. I know Saints are going to be up by probably 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, but Peterson still is a must play, obviously, every week. Drew Brees, I mean, what can you say about the guy? 11 touchdowns, no interceptions over the last 4 games, over 300 yards in all 4 of them. What a season he's having. You got to put him in there. 27th-ranked Minnesota pass defense. He's definitely going to go over 300 again if he wants to. He's top 5 play for sure this week at quarterback. Marcus Colston, you heard Jersey talk about him a little earlier, coming off 105-yard, 2-touchdown performance last week. He's in there. Jimmy Graham. Killing fantasy owners by having only an average performance last week because of back spasms. Those are a thing of the past. He will be in there. The Saints need the game. He's going to go. He's good for at least 80 in a touchdown. Percy Harvin, man, ever since a few weeks ago, he's been red hot. You know, the return from Adrian Peterson, I don't know that that's going to hurt him. It may, in fact, help him. He's got 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games, does Harvin. 10 grabs last game. I love him this week. I think he's a great play. The dud in this one is Robert Meacham. He has been ice cold outside of the Detroit game. That's the one exception. He had 1 catch for 15 yards last week. Leave him on your bench. He's not going to help you win a fantasy playoff game this week. The sleeper here, it's Christopher Ivory. There's no Mark Ingram, so Ivory's going to get some totes. He had 13 last week, and he looked pretty good to me. With the lead, New Orleans is going to run the ball, and the fact that he's likely to get any goal line carries, I think Ivory's good for a double-digit performance today. Plenty of points to go around in New Orleans. I have the Saints winning this one 42-21, Rev. Any shot for the Vikings?
No, not really, but I do see the Vikings putting up some points in this game, especially in garbage time. So I'm going to go with New Orleans here, but not by much. I'm going to go with the Saints 37, Vikings 31 in a high-scoring affair.
Ooh, interesting. I'd love it to be that close. That would be very interesting. All right, America's guest back in the chat room. He's rolling, trying to figure out what defense to roll with here. He's got Baltimore going in San Diego or Tennessee against Indy, and says he could also pick up Denver. I would not do that. Or, and I think I know where you're going with this one, Rev, Arizona, Cleveland. I love the Cardinals. I picked them up myself.
Yeah, that's where you got to go, Cardinals all the way here. How many points is Cleveland going to put up, realistically? I mean, come on.
If they hit 10
or a touchdown.
I mean, and they don't – I know this is a weird thing to say, but they're not even going to have Colt McCoy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, yeah, I mean, either way, Cleveland's going nowhere.
Yeah, I know the appeal, America's guest, I know the appeal of Baltimore, but San Diego's offense has looked pretty good, and although I think Rivers will turn it over a couple times, San Diego, to me, is going to put up, you know, 17, 20, 24 points. And Indianapolis, Rev, we'll get to that later. I don't want to ruin the surprise. But, you know, look, when they get down, they could put up points. And Orlovsky's good for a couple of touchdowns, even though he might throw 3 picks. So I think to me, and you don't want to mess with New England going into Denver. I think they're going to expose that Denver defense. But the Cardinals against Cleveland, first of all, the Cardinals, as the Red said, their defense has been playing well lately. And second of all, there's just nothing going on in Cleveland. They're done. They'd be lucky to score 10 points this week. I would pick up the Cardinals and put them in there.
And by the way, Ben Watson is now on injured reserve. I mean, Ben Watson's no big deal, but he's one of their bigger weapons. So
yeah, I mean, literally, Ben Watson, literally a the big man in the small pond as far as the offense goes. So, all right, speaking of Todd Haley getting fired, I think he might be glad that he didn't have to sit through this one today as Green Bay travels to the Gateway City. Rev, break it down, Packers.
Yeah, well, I like your Michael Finley here as a stud. I mean, yes, he put up a goose egg last week, and he has dropped a few passes this season. Well, with no Greg Jennings in the lineup, I think he should be more of a factor as a big play threat who could stretch the seams. You know, I say he gets about two or three of Jennings' usual targets, his usual eight targets a game. And the Chiefs are tied for giving up the third most touchdowns to tight ends. I say number 88 gets at least one score today. Dwayne Bowe is another stud here. Give the man some credit. He's averaged 72 yards per game despite playing with bad quarterbacks all season. Yeah, look, Castle is a bum, and Tyler Palko shouldn't even be. I mean, the guy's like a modern-day scab player. Green Bay always gives up a ton of passing yards, and if Kyle Orton plays in this one, and he is going to start, by the way, then Bowe's stock goes up even higher. I like him to go for about six catches and 80 yards in this spot. The dud here is James Starks. Look, he's got a pretty severe ankle injury, and it looks like he's not going to go here. He tried working out earlier in the week, but he hasn't made enough progress. Even when he's healthy, Starks is a big bruising back, but he lacks any kind of wiggle or change of direction skills. Going into next year, the guy you want to take a look at, I think he's got some real potential, is Alex Green. But as far as this year is concerned or this week is concerned, James Starks is a guy that you're not going to need anymore. You might as well just drop him. Jackie Bowe is another dud here. JB is a very limited back. He is a non-factor in the passing game with only eight catches all year. Plus, he's a straight-ahead runner who's been well under 4 yards per carry over his past three games. And he's sharing carries on top of that. So he's a guy you want to stay far, far away from. The sleeper here, I had a couple of guys, but the first guy I'll mention is Ryan Grant. He does some of his best work when it's cold outside, and that means you want him in your lineup with temperatures probably somewhere in the 40s today. Grant is another one of those big backs who gets better the more he sees the ball. I think that he should see plenty of carries today with the Packers. Well, first of all, they're going to be milking the clock with a sizable lead in the second half, I believe. And then their other two backs are banged up, including Brandon Sane. So I think Ryan Grant should see a lot of opportunities today. Donald Driver is another sleeper here. If you're in a deep league, Double D can help you out as your number three receiver or flex option. He still runs great routes over the middle. He still has great hands and a strong grip. As far as the score goes, I think that I'll go with the Green Bay Packers here, probably by a score of like 33-19. I think this is a case where Green Bay jumps out to the big lead. They sort of rest their guys in the second half. I think the Chiefs put up some garbage points, maybe throw the ball around a little bit to Breston and Bowe and guys like that. But I still like Green Bay winning about 33-19, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, I have it 38-13, and I think at least Orton's going to give them pretty much a competent quarterback, which is something they haven't had in a few weeks. And let's talk about the Packers here, Rev. I mean, there's been rumblings that they're going to rest some guys the last couple of weeks, even though they're going for that unbeaten season. What's your take on that? How would you play things? Would you go for the immortality of the unbeaten season, or would you rest your guys with the back-to-back Super Bowl as your primary goal?
Well, I certainly wouldn't go the route of the Indianapolis Colts a couple of years ago. I mean, when they say rest your guys, to me, I think resting your guys makes sense if, again, you jump out to the big lead and you rest them in the fourth quarter. That, to me, is the definition of resting your guys and doing it effectively. I wouldn't want to sit out these guys for a whole entire game. They kind of lose their edge. You know, they need to stay in shape. They need to stay in form. And so I think, you know, sitting out guys like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and guys like, you know, Jermichael Finley and regular starters like that, sitting those guys out for an entire game, I think makes little sense. You want these guys to keep their edge. And so if you're going to do it for one quarter, that's fine. If you're up with a big lead, but for an entire game, I would say no to that.
Totally agree. I think if you do that, you know, with the time off they're going to have for the bye week, I think that's just too long to go, and I think without playing. And I think basically what that does is it throws your entire offense out of rhythm. I think a bye week can do that a little bit anyway, but I think Green Bay is good enough to overcome it. But sitting them out for a couple of weeks, you come in, the weather's obviously going to be cold. They're not going to be in rhythm. I think there's a danger of losing your continuity there offensively. And with the Packers, it's all about the passing game. It's not like they're going to come in and, you know, mix in the run 50% of the time when they play their first playoff game. No, Rodgers is going to be throwing the ball all over the place, and you need to keep that rhythm going. So I'm very much against resting players for the entire game. You know, you want to sit them out the fourth quarter, the last game. It's going to be tough to do if it's a 24-21 game going into the fourth quarter and you're sitting there at 15-0. I don't think I'd do it. I think I'd just let it play out. I mean, Rodgers he hasn't gotten hurt. What are you going to do? I mean, you got to play the games in front of you. And if it's a competitive game, I'd like to see them go for it. I think they have a very good chance of going undefeated through the entire season, not just the regular season. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs shocked the world today, although I definitely would not hold my breath on that one. All right, another team that's pretty much been shocking the world with the ability to rebound from major injuries are the Houston Texans. Got to give them props, especially Wade Phillips, who's now absent, undergoing some surgery, and wish him the best. The guy deserves it. After the abuse he took in Dallas, he has rebounded to form one of the league's best defenses, and they will welcome the juggernaut, the enigma that is Cam Newton. You got to start Cam today. He might not get a lot done on either way, but when you put his numbers together through the air and on the ground, I think he's going to have a pretty productive day. Arian Foster obviously is a start against that Carolina rush defense. And I like Steve Smith. Despite the tough defense that he's going against, I think he gets enough targets to be a must start even against the Texans. He's got the fourth most, I believe. As far as duds in this game, I don't like the Carolina running backs at all here. Between turf toe Johnny Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, yeah, they've been pretty effective of late. But this time they're going against a tough defense. They're splitting carries. And you got Cam Newton when you get inside the red zone. I would avoid these two today if you have any other options. This is not the best week to have a Carolina running back. I don't like Kevin Walter either. You know, don't get carried away by last week. He's banged up, and I just don't trust him going back-to-back weeks with production. As far as the offense goes, it's going to be concentrated more on the running. They're going to throw in both tight ends. Don't forget Joel Dreesen, who always seems to show up and catch a touchdown out of nowhere, and the running backs. You know, I think 60 yards tops for Kevin Walter, and that's being very generous. Sleeper here, had him again. Give them to you last week, give them to you again, and that's Ben Tate. He had 8 for 67 last week. I think if he has 8 this week, he could have more yards than that. But I think he gets anywhere between 12 to 15 carries this week. I think he could approach 85, 90 yards. I think he finds the end zone. I think the Texans win again behind T.J. Yates, the fifth-round rookie out of North Carolina. I have Houston winning 27 to 19, Rev. Can they do it again?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll play a conservative. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I will go with Houston 22-20.
Well, looking at it right now, I mean, obviously the Texans are in the playoffs, but, I mean, look, and I anticipate your Jets being there. Maybe they collide, but can T.J. Yates win a couple of playoff games for this team?
I don't know. I mean, look, the guy's making good decisions. He's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. So I like that from him. He doesn't have the best arm in the world. You know, it all depends. It all starts with the running game. You know, if they're able to run the ball like they have been, and they're playing that tough defense. I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs, even with T.J. Yates in there. But, you know, if the game is going to turn into a shootout, then I start getting worried a little bit about T.J. Yates. But if the game is close, you know, with the team that they have, with the two running backs and the way they're playing defense this year, I think the Houston Texans are going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's why all these games are so important. It really matters where they end up seed-wise and who they play. I mean, I don't like the matchup against Baltimore. It would be very difficult for them. But, you know, if they end up having to play a team like Denver, assuming Denver hangs on and wins the division, or even New England, you know, a team who's susceptible defensively to pretty much anything, I think that's okay. I think they can manage that. But, you know, Baltimore, the Jets, to me, would be a difficult matchup for them. So that's why these games are all hugely important, even though we pretty much know who's going to make the playoffs on the top end of things. It matters where the seeding is to see who you're going to play. And, boy, if they could get a bye week, how helpful would that be? I think that'd be fantastic for them. So a lot to play for the Texans today, hosting the Carolina Panthers. And you never know what you're going to get with Cam Newton. Could be an interesting matchup. I'll tell you a matchup that's not going to be very interesting, Rev, and there could be some fantasy gold in here. Seattle, pretty good season for the Seahawks. We can touch on that after the game. Traveling into Chicago, where, boy, do they need a win, and I don't know if Caleb Haney can give it to them. What do you think?
Yeah, well, in what is almost sure to be a defensive slugfest, I don't expect a lot of fantasy studs in this one. But I do like the red-hot Doug Baldwin, who lit up the stat sheet by catching 7 of his 8 targets for 93 yards and a touchdown versus St. Louis on Monday Night Football most recently. Baldwin, I think, is the best wideout in what's left of Seattle's receiving core. He's a savvy route runner. He's dangerous either as a short, intermediate, or even deep receiver. He's put up numbers with both Tavares Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst, their quarterback. And Chicago currently has the 5th worst defense versus the pass. I do like Doug Baldwin to continue putting up decent numbers here. The dud, well, a mild dud, I should say, is Marshawn Lynch. And look, it's hard to bench a guy who scored in 9 straight games. But as a wise Jewish rabbi once said, all good things must come to an end. And, look, there's no doubt that Chicago will be keying in on Lynch since Seattle lacks a big-time passing game. But since week 6, no running back has surpassed 75 yards on the ground versus the Monsters of the Midway. The beastly runner won't be seeing any Skittles raining down on him this week, as I think he's going to be held to about 65 yards and no scores. If you have a comparable running back, you may want to use him, unless his name is Rashard Mendenhall, of course, but we'll get to that later. The sleeper here, I think both defenses are sleepers here. I mean, look at the quarterbacks, Tavares Jackson, Caleb Haney. Jackson hasn't gone over 224 yards in his past 6 games, and he's only thrown for more than 1 touchdown once during that stretch. And then Haney, on the other hand, he's been abysmal. His passing yards, his passing numbers just keep going down. They keep getting worse week after week. Last week he had 115 passing yards versus the Denver Broncos. He's got a 2-6 touchdown to interception ratio. I think both Seattle and Chicago have top 10 defenses this week. I will go with Seattle in this one. I'll go to Seahawks 20, Chicago 18.
Yeah, I have a little lower scoring. I have Seattle 17-16 in this game. And, you know, Rev, let's talk about the Seahawks a little bit. They win this one. They get to 500. Somehow they manage to defeat the Niners in Seattle, which to me is not impossible next week. You're looking at them being 8-7. I think you're looking at the Arizona Cardinals after they win today. They could pick up a win against the Bengals next week to me. Those two teams are going to be 8-7 playing each other the last game of the season. The winner will be 9-7, and look up. That might be good enough to make the playoffs, especially if they end up tied with some other teams who are 9-7. One of those two teams could actually make the playoffs. Playoffs? You know, look, Detroit loses today. Obviously, it'll help them out a lot. But what do you think? I mean, obviously we know it's possible, but what do you think the chances are? One of those teams finishes 9-7 and actually finds the way into the playoffs?
Look, it's certainly possible. I mean, Seattle has been playing well, and a lot of the things that Pete Carroll was trying to do early in the season are now coming to fruition. He wanted that strong running game, and Marshawn Lynch has delivered this year. The other thing that he wanted is he wanted two big, strong defensive tackles to help stop the run on the other side of the ball. And for the most part, Seattle has been able to stop the running game. So you got to like what they're doing. And with Seattle, they also got some young guys stepping up. I just mentioned Doug Baldwin. They got some good cornerbacks over there. Richard Sherman is a guy who's been coming on. Their safeties are young players who are coming along, both Chancellor and Earl Thomas. So I like the way things are coming along for that team. And then you mentioned the Arizona Cardinals. I love that. You look at some of those names on that defense. I mean, that unit is pretty loaded. So, to me, I think both of these teams, they look like, you know, one-and-done teams. But, hey, we were saying the same thing about Seattle last year. And then, you know, they go into New Orleans. I'm sorry, they were playing at home in Seattle.
Right.
And they beat New Orleans in that game. So, you never know what's going to happen. So, hey, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing either one of these two teams going to the playoffs. You know, both of them are going to be like one of those teams you're not going to expect anything from. But they could add a little bit of excitement, you know, a little bit of the unexpected. They could certainly add that in the postseason this year.
I agree. And, you know, the interesting thing will be, though, should they make the playoffs, they'll likely end up playing the Falcons, I would think. You know, not to get too far ahead of it, but the Falcons are probably going to be the 5, and I don't know, they'll probably be the 6. So they'd end up playing the 3, which will probably be the NFC East winner. I don't know, who knows? That'll be the 4. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here, but look, you have the potential for the Giants or Cowboys finishing 9-7, the Lions finishing 9-7, and then those two teams. So, you know, let's start looking at the tiebreakers this week if all those teams shake out the way we think they're going to. But, you know, after all the bashing the NFC West has taken in recent years, and quite deservedly so, it would be ironic to have them have one of the better seeds, maybe a number 2 seed, and also a wild card come out of there in the NFC East. Boy, I don't even think about there being a 3-way tie at 8-8, but it's very possible, and the Eagles would actually win in that scenario. But that division, always thought to be so high and mighty, looking pretty down and out this season. And speaking of down and out, how about those Buffalo Bills? Free-falling, hosting the Dolphins, Dolphins' new coach. Who knows what's going to happen in there, but Matt Moore, I don't know what the deal is with him. Questionable right now, probably going to start after the concussion-like syndromes. I'd be very wary of putting him into the lineup. But one guy you definitely have to start here is Reggie Bush. Listen, the guy is on fire, and Buffalo is leaking yardage and touchdowns in run defense. Bush has produced for almost 2 straight months now. I think it's time to start taking him seriously as a consistent fantasy performer. He's not going to hit the 130 yards that Buffalo gives up on a weekly basis, but I think he's going to come pretty close in total yards. I also like Brandon Marshall. I don't love him. I think he's going to be a bit limited by the fact that Moore is himself going to be a bit limited. I know Moore practiced Friday, but be wary. I'm telling you, Marshall's numbers will suffer if Moore is out, or even if he's playing at anything less than 100%. So don't expect 15 targets for him this game. I like C.J. Spiller a little bit. Not on the ground, but as a receiver, I think he's good for 75, 80 yards through the air alone in this game. That's how much I have faith in Miami's ability to contain him after the first level. I like Stevie Johnson. The guy's had double digits fantasy points the last 3 games, and Miami's pretty poor against the pass. They've given up 19 touchdowns through the air. Odds are little Stevie gets in the end zone for the Bills. The dud, and he's been a dud all season, told you so at the beginning of the year, and that's Daniel Thomas. He's been awful. Huge bust, those who took the risk on him. With Reggie Bush running well, there's just nothing for Mr. Thomas in this game at all. I think he doesn't belong on a roster, let alone in your lineup. The sleeper here, and I know it sounds crazy, but I sort of like the Buffalo defense today. Between Moore's injury and the team just not being themselves after playing so hard for a coach trying to save his job and failing to do so, I could see some sloppy play out of that Miami offense. And for that reason, I like the Buffalo defense in the cold, and I also kind of like the Bills in this game, Rev. 23-13 Buffalo wins. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm not ready to go in that direction. Look, the Buffalo Bills have been hit by a number of key injuries this year. That team is decimated. And, you know, last I heard, Matt Moore is still going to start that game. I think Reggie Bush, I think there's a realistic shot that he can actually reach 1,000 yards this season, which is quite amazing, especially considering the way he started out. I like Miami in this one, 24-21.
Fair enough, fair enough. A lot of chatter going on about Ben Roethlisberger in the chat room. All right, a quarterback question here, Rev. I know, Tubb. You weren't the only one who went with Palmer and got torched last week, believe me. He wants to know, Carson Palmer against the Lions or Mark Sanchez down the turnpike in Philly? Who are you going with, Rev?
I think if the Jets want to win this game, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think they could certainly win it. I think they will win it, but I think that they're going to have to do it with Sean Green, who's been just on fire the past 3 weeks. I don't see Sanchez putting up huge numbers, but I do think that Palmer, if they want to win that game, the Raiders, they're going to have to throw the ball. I know he's been turning over the ball a lot, but he does get back to Darius Moore, so his offense is a little bit healthier, and he should have Michael Bush should have a great game, as he mentioned before. I think that helps him out as well. He's playing at home. I like Palmer just a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, and I know earlier in the week, there was thought that Jacoby Ford might be back in there with Moore. They're not so lucky, but I think he'll be very thankful to have Moore back. I know he killed you last week, and I know it's tough to go back to the well, but I think you kind of have to. I don't think Sanchez is going to have that big of a day. I think that game's much lower scoring. I think I would go with Palmer, but I could not blame you if you bailed on him and went with Sanchez after what Palmer did last week. Man, what a killer. America's guest, in a PPR league, Aaron Hernandez or Brent Celek? I'm going with Hernandez because Deion Branch is not available. He is out. And to me, you know, it's not like Ocho Cinco is going to step in there and have 8 receptions. I think that just opens it up for both tight ends and Wes Welker. So those are the 3 guys you want to have. And Hernandez, although he might be the 3rd in that pecking order, I still think there's more there than for Celek against the Jets. What do you think, Rev?
Yeah, I'll go with the upside here. I'll go with Hernandez.
So here's an interesting one. From Dazed and Confused, Tim Miracle Tebow or Ben Roethlisberger? And obviously we're taking into consideration the injury. What do you do in that instance, Rev?
I do think Ben Roethlisberger is going to play, and I think that he could put up decent numbers, but Tim Tebow's got the much better matchup, and he's the healthier guy as well. I'll go with Tim Tebow.
All right, unsurprisingly, another Tim Tebow question here. Tim Tebow or Eli Manning?
No, you got to go with Eli. I mean, you can make an argument for Eli being an MVP. Well, you know, that's going to go to Aaron Rodgers, but he's certainly in the discussion. You got to go with Eli Manning.
Very, very difficult to sit either one of these guys. I love both matchup. I love the Tebow matchup. And look, man, the Redskins play the pass surprisingly well, but I just don't see how you could possibly bench Eli Manning in this game. So I'm going to have to go with Eli. I mean, it's a tough call to me. I think they're both, you know, easily in the top 10 this week. But let's see what Tebow can do against, you know, a smartly coached team. And I'm not talking about just on defense. I think the way to defend Tebow is to get up 21-0.
Yep.
I think that's what the Patriots have to do today. I think they're going to come out. Brady, I think, he's not going to say it, but I think he's sick and tired of hearing about Tim Tebow, and I think he's going to be on fire against a pretty vulnerable Denver secondary as far as I'm concerned, Champ Bailey notwithstanding. Tony Romo hurt Skull Monkey's feelings. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how. Maybe by not throwing a pick. What can he expect from Matthew Stafford today, Rev? Give me some numbers. I'm thinking 302 touchdowns from Stafford today. I'm not a big fan of that Oakland D.
Yeah, I'd say at least about 275 and 2 to 3 touchdowns.
That's fair. Ryan Matthews or Ryan Grant, non-PPR. A couple of Ryans there for a question there.
Interesting.
Tough matchup for Matthews, and who knows how often Grant's going to touch the ball. Who are you going with there?
Well, if it is a non-PPR, I just might go with Grant here. I think Ryan Matthews, I think he's going to have maybe a decent day, but that's going to be catching the ball. It's hard to run on that Baltimore defense. Whereas Grant, I think, is going to get a lot of carries. I mean, just by the fact that there's really nobody else left in that backfield. You know, Starks is banged up. Insane, he suffered a concussion last week. And I do think he's going to get some opportunities in garbage time just to bleed the clock. And so I kind of like Grant as a nice flex play this week.
Yeah, you know, the way I'm thinking here is that I do like Grant. I think he'll be able to get some work in. But to me, with Starks being hurt and Green Bay being up in this game, I think they're going to say, you know what, if Grant plays and gets hurt, we don't really have a running back. And it's going to matter in a few weeks, you know, to have a healthy running back. So I don't think he's going to be worked all that hard when they're up. And even though they're going to be running the ball, Matthews, man, that's a tough matchup. But it's non-PPR. I still go with Matthews. I don't think Tolbert's going to steal any of those touchdowns from him because, quite frankly, I don't think Tolbert's going to be able to get in against Baltimore from the five and in. So I'm going to go with Matthews. I think it's awfully close, but I think, oddly, Starks being hurt sort of hurts Ryan Grant because I don't think they can afford to have him get banged up. I mean, you got to have a healthy running back that you can at least somewhat rely upon.
They have a couple of weeks to rest up Starks, so he doesn't even necessarily have to play next week. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep Starks healthy for the playoffs, trying to get him back for the playoffs. I think that's the game plan. So, I don't think that that's going to prevent them from giving enough carries to Mr. Ryan Grant for him to be a factor fantasy-wise this week.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the argument. I just think it's going to end up being a strange situation in Green Bay running back-wise today. Speaking of Ryan Matthews, Big Tex says he has Ryan Matthews, but his only option other than that at the flex spot is Santonio Holmes, and it is a non-PPR league. Keep that in mind. Do you go with Holmes over Matthews in a non-PPR?
No, I'll go with the running back in a non-PPR.
Yeah, I think I would too, and yeah, Tex, you're right. I think that is pretty much what Holmes will do. 25 yards and a touchdown. That seems to be his MO. I can't trust Santonio Holmes. And look, Matthews, for all we're talking up Baltimore, he could easily have 80 yards of rushing and, you know, 25 receiving. Even if he doesn't get into the end zone, that still might be better than what Santonio Holmes does today. One more, Dazed and Confused, another non-PPR league. I think I know where you're going to go here, but we'll see. He needs one. Antonio Brown, Dwayne Bowe, or Eric Decker?
Yeah, this is a good question, actually, because I do think that Bowe is going to be able to get some garbage time points. But Bowe hasn't scored in a long time, so I don't like him to score today, although that's certainly possible. Then you have Eric Decker. Demaryius Thomas is a guy who's been stepping up lately there, so it's kind of hard to figure out from week to week who's really going to be that premier receiver among the Denver Broncos. I'm going to go with Antonio Brown here. He's been doing it for the past few weeks. The guy right now, he's very close to gaining 1,000 yards for the season. Very hard to cover. I like him. If I have to pick one guy to score here, it's going to be Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would go with Brown also. I know you're going to you'd be hesitant to start him if Charlie Batch is the quarterback, but I think Brown is just so able to get open. I mean, I want to say it doesn't matter. I think it would ultimately, but I think Brown will find the end zone regardless. I like the other two guys as well, especially Decker. I think he's a good play today against that New England defense. You know, I don't know. Is Troy Brown coming back to play in the secondary? You don't know, and I think Tebow will get him the ball, but man, Antonio Brown, he's just been a gold mine this year for fantasy owners, and I think you go with him regardless of who he plays. Let's see. We up to here, Rev. Will it be the week? Will it be this week? Will it happen at all? Will the Colts get a win? Welcoming Tennessee into the dome. Chris Johnson, 200 yards possible? Break it down, Rev.
Yeah, interesting game here. Look, first of all, I have to say that I have to you have to go with both of those Tennessee wide receivers. Damian Williams and Nate Washington. As far as Damian Williams goes, I liked him last week. He put up okay numbers, but I like him again today since he has an even better matchup. The Colts are giving up the 7th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and they've surrendered 24 passing touchdowns on the season. Nate Washington is another guy I like. Look, Nate Dogg has recorded 15 or more fantasy points in 3 of his last 7 games. And, you know, Tennessee's quarterback, whoever that is, I think should have no problem moving the ball versus Indy's pathetic secondary. I mean, you could pull Dan Pastorini out of retirement. He can give you 200 yards versus the Colts. The dud here, Joseph Addai, I mean, how the mighty have fallen. The off-injured back hasn't rushed for more than 40 yards since week 4 and hasn't scored since week 3. Jared Cook, I mean, the invisible one, is the captain of my all-milk carton team. He's gone catchless for the past 2 weeks, 2 straight weeks. The guy is useless and irrelevant. The sleeper here is downtown Donald Brown. He's the lead back on the Colts. He scored double-digit fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 games. In addition, he's averaging 16 touches per game over his past 6 games, past 6 weeks. Plus, he's hit pay dirt versus Tennessee the last time he faced the Titans. I say he does it again. And I'm looking for Indy to finally come up with a win here. They already said that Caldwell is definitely out if this team goes 0-16. Now, I think whether he goes 1-15 and 0-16, it shouldn't make a difference. But maybe, just maybe, that motivates the team a little bit more. With Dan Orlovsky back there, with Donald Brown running the ball, at least offensively, they're showing some signs of life there. I think this is going to be a tough game for Tennessee. And I'm calling for Indy to come out and come up with the upset win here. Colts 27, Tennessee 24.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I have the Titans winning a close game 23-20, but I definitely think the Colts will be competitive in this one. And I don't know, I don't really trust Tennessee offensively, and I think they, you know, turn it over a couple times. I think it's going to be a close game. I could definitely see Indianapolis getting their first and probably only win of the season there. Let's hit the phone lines. Have 313 waiting on the line patiently. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind, man?
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Very well, Julio Jones. What's up?
Nothing much. I've been riding him lately. He's taking care of business.
Indeed.
Yeah, so at any rate, so we're still afloat in both leagues, and we're getting close to the finish line here. And in one league, I have a concern with my flex spot, and my options are Nate Burleson, DeSean Jackson, Ahmad Bradshaw, and Brandon Jacobs, and you get 2 points for every 5 receptions.
2 points for every 5 receptions, all right. I don't know how I feel about Ahmad Bradshaw. I mean, we only saw half a performance. I think basically he got the message last week, and I think he's going to be straightened up this week. I think he definitely will split carries with Jacobs. I think he'll probably get 60-65% of them. I think they'll run the ball pretty effectively today. I see Bradshaw hitting double digits. I don't love DeSean Jackson or Nate Burleson today, and I definitely start Bradshaw over Jacobs. So I think I'd go with Bradshaw. Rev, what do you think of that?
Yeah, tough question. I'm going to have to go with Bradshaw myself. I mean, the guy is well-rested. I think he's going to see most of the carries. And as far as the 2 receivers are concerned, I mean, DeSean Jackson's got a tough matchup. And as far as Burleson goes, I mean, it's tough to count on him. From week to week, you don't know what you're going to get from him. I'll go with Bradshaw. You know you're going to get a lot of touches from him at the very least.
Okay. And so now Jabbar Gaffney is on the waiver wire also. And I still have time to pick him up, so let me throw that caveat in there. What do you guys expect from Jabbar Gaffney today?
Well, I mean, much as I hate to say it, because I'm going to be there and I'm a Giant fan, I kind of like him today. I think he's the kind of guy that will give the Giants a very difficult time. I mean, Gaffney, I see him finding the end zone. I think I'll probably have 6 or 7 grabs. To me, he's the best bet out of all the receivers we've talked about here to score fantasy points, and I strongly consider playing him over Bradshaw. I mean, I know it sounds weird because he's a receiver and not even technically the number one in Washington, but he's the kind of guy that gives the Giants fits. And I don't know how much Bradshaw is going to play. I don't know what to expect out of him. I don't know what the split's going to be. I would consider picking him up and starting him. Rev, crazy or what?
Yeah, no, it's not crazy at all. I mean, you take a look at that Washington Redskins offense, and who else are they going to throw the ball to? They have Santana Moss and they have Gaffney. Those are the top two guys there. And Gaffney's the type of guy, he's a very crafty receiver. He's not a guy that's going to beat you with a lot of speed, but the guy's an excellent route runner. He just knows how to get open. He's one of those wily veterans who always finds a way to catch the ball. And versus that Giants secondary, I can definitely see him doing some damage today.
Yeah, I mean, look, Corey Webster is going to be on Moss, I would assume. And that means you got Prince Amukamara on Gaffney, or worse, you got Aaron Ross on Gaffney. And Gaffney's just too good for either one of them. He runs his running is too good. Look, he's going over five. You're going to get the bonus for the 2 points for the PPR. So, and I think he finds the end zone. If they're inside the 10, I mean, he'll turn Ross inside out. So the more I think about it, the more I like Gaffney. I know that throws a monkey wrench into it, but I do. I really like Gaffney today. It's sunny. It'd probably be a little windy. I can see him. He's crafty. He's going to get open over the middle. He's going to get open on those out patterns. I like him today.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Jabari Gaffney since yesterday, and I've been thinking about making that move. And so I'm leaning toward it. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I just have a feeling.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Okay. Okay, awesome. And one more question, and then I'm going to get out of here and just listen. In the other league, I played Julio Jones, of course, so I have a 15-point cushion. But I have one wide receiver spot that I'm contemplating on filling with a final flex spot with a wide receiver. And my choices are in this league also, Anquan Boldin, DeSean Jackson, or either Demaryius Thomas.
I'd go with Thomas for sure.
Demaryius Thomas is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Tebow's going to be throwing the ball all over the place. He threw for 236 last week, and you know, they're steadily increasing his responsibility passing-wise, and there's no better team to throw the ball against, and Thomas is getting open against everybody. I really like him today, and I don't really like DeSean Jackson at all today.
Yeah, and you take a look at that New England secondary, I don't think anybody from that group matches up with Demaryius Thomas.
No way.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I picked him up yesterday evening, and I've been sitting on that question also. You know, I always need you guys' input in order to move forward, and so we're close to the finish line, gentlemen.
All right, man. You can see the gold. The gold is within your reach, man. Demaryius Thomas is going to take you there with Jabari Gaffney, baby.
Okay, there you go. You gentlemen have a good day, and I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, man. Good luck.
All right, good luck.
And I'll tell you, those are two guys. I love both those guys today, especially Thomas. I mean, I could see him just going absolutely crazy with Tebow today with the Patriots, and we'll get to that game a little bit later on. First, Rev, your Jets traveling down the I-95 to Philly. I'm not buying this Philly resurgence, man. Come on, it's one game. Everybody's settled down. But I do love LeSean McCoy today. Even if he's going to be limited on the ground, he's still a stud. He could do it through the air. He's double digits every game this season. Can't say that a lot about a lot of running backs. This game will be no different. Feel confident with him. I think it's time to feel a little optimistic and confident about Sean Green as well. Philadelphia's given up 270 yards on the ground over the last two games. Green has had over 20 carries the last couple of games. You add that up, that means 100 total yards and a score to me, at least, from Sean Green this week. The dud let my fantasy team down. I didn't have him in, but I could have used a healthy Jeremy Maclin last week. He tried. He had to be shut down. He's still questionable, but there should be no question here. You have to leave him on your fantasy bench. He's just not ready to go, and it's not a good matchup anyway. Sleeper here, haven't looked long and hard. I go with Brent Celek. He's getting targets. Should be a valuable play-action target against an aggressive Jet defense in the red zone. Don't think Philly's going to be there a lot, but he could wrangle one of those touchdowns that the Eagles will get. I think he's at the fringes of the top 10 for the tight end position this week. I think this is going to be a very close game, but to me, this is the Jets' time of year. I think the Jets pull it out. I think the crowd will turn on Philadelphia when things don't go their way. I have the Jets winning 23-21, Rev.
Yeah, I kind of like that score. I think the Jets find a way to win this game, as they often do, and when it gets to the fourth quarter in these tight type of matchups, I'll go with the Jets here. Yeah, probably like by a, say, like a 24-20 type of score.
Yeah, it seems fair, and who knows what's going to go with the Jets when they travel. Yeah, people talking about all those kids getting in trouble for T-bowing at school. Shouldn't be asking God for help in winning football games. I don't know that he's asking for help from God, much as I don't like the religious aspect of Tim Tebow. I think it's more a matter of him going out of his way to thank God when it happens. Let's see, we got anything else in the chat room. You're absolutely right, Snake Eyes. Tampa Bay is by far and away the worst tackling team in the NFL. I think we're up to date there, Rev. So let's carry on to one of the more intriguing games of the weekend, both from a reality and a fantasy standpoint, as the Detroit Lions take to the road, travel to Oakland to take on the Raiders. Break it down.
Yeah, well, I mean, we brought up this guy before. I'll bring him up again. That's Michael Bush, and he's an absolute 24-carat stud here. Look, they got no D-Mac, no Tywan Jones, and that means Bush will have all the carries to himself outside of an odd handoff to Marcel Reese here and there. Detroit's defense specializes in giving up big plays in the running game, as evidenced by the fact that they've given up 15 runs of 20 yards or more this season. Only two teams have done worse in that department. Look for Oakland to establish the running game and give Bush the ball at least 25 times in this game. The man has scored in four out of his last five games and will do so again today. Another guy I think that has fallen off in recent weeks but is still a stud to me is Calvin Johnson. He was held to a season-low 29 yards last week as defenses are covering him with the safety over the top. Look, Mike Mitchell is good at defending tight ends, but Calvin Johnson is a different animal. Matthew Stafford was accused of not being aggressive enough in targeting Calvin Johnson, Megatron, last week, but you can bet that he'll be looking his way a whole lot today. The dud here, Titus Young. He made me look bad versus Minnesota last week with a spectacular 57-yard touchdown, but I don't think that's going to be the case versus Oakland, which has better defensive backs than the Vikings. In fact, the Raiders have allowed only six plays of 40 yards or more, and going deep is Young's game. If you take away the deep ball, you pretty much neutralize Titus Young, I think. The sleeper here, Carson Palmer, I think, is a sleeper. His wide receiver core is healthier now. Detroit has given up 9 passing touchdowns in their last 3 games. I'm not saying he goes off, but I think he puts up good numbers. Brandon Pettigrew is another sleeper here. Oakland has allowed tight ends to score in 3 of their last 4 games, so I think there's a very good chance that Brandon Pettigrew cashes in. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I do like Oakland to win, though, 35-30 over the Lions.
Gigantic game for the Oakland Raiders, who I have won in their last 2 games. To me, this is the big one. I think they definitely will beat the Chargers on the last game of the season, North Turner's last game as coach, and I think they beat the Chiefs. So if they win today, that gives them 10 wins. And again, another huge game for Denver in the division. If they win today, you know, they could be looking at 10 wins. They split the season series, going to come down to the tiebreakers. We can look at that after today's games, but absolutely huge game for the Raiders. They have to win the game. Man, there could be an NFL record for penalties and penalty yardage in this game, but I, too, like the Raiders, Rev. I think Oakland pulls this one out 27-23, and this one could go either way, but I'll tell you, boy, this is the biggest game the Raiders have had in a while, and they're playing it in front of the home crowd. It's going to be crazy. I don't trust Detroit. I mean, it's not that I trust the Raiders at all, especially Carson Palmer, Mr. 4 interception. But I don't trust Detroit on the road. I think they're going to make a pivotal mistake toward the end of the game, and I have the Raiders winning. And I mean, do you agree with me? Can they get to 10 with Kansas City and San Diego? It's possible, yeah?
Look, they have the talent, obviously. You know, I mean, Carson Palmer is a guy that from week to week you don't know what to expect out of him. Lately he's been complaining that, you know, he's been feeling a little bit fatigued, and, you know, he's had to move his family over, and he's had to learn a lot and not a lot of time. I don't know if I really buy that, because the reason why they traded for Carson Palmer is because supposedly he was very familiar with Hugh Jackson's offense. But I think that the Raiders have some winnable games here, and I think that they should be good enough to get into the playoffs. Now, once they get into the playoffs, I don't see them going anywhere, but I think they should be good enough to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to make the playoffs, they're definitely going to have to win today, because Denver's winning 10 games. I mean, even if they lose today, they're going to win their last two, and that'll bring them to 10. So Raiders lose today, they'll max out at 9. That ain't going to be good enough.
No.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the AFC West, especially, boy, I love seeing Oakland against San Diego, last game of the season with the Raiders' season on the line. I like their chances there, but they got to take care of business today, and I think they will. Another team taking care of business of late, stunning, two of the NFL's more interesting and, dare I say, better. Sorry, apologies, Dallas there, but, you know, to me, they're one of the better teams in the NFC. And then they beat the Niners last week, and that's the Arizona Cardinals, and we've been talking up their defense, Rev. Can they pitch a shutout today against the lowly Browns?
Yes, yes, yes. I do like Chris Beanie Wells in this game. Expect the Cards to put the game in Beanie's hands versus a Cleveland team that can't score. And with the talented but raw John Skelton behind center, I think Wells, I think he's going to be solid goal today. Wells had a rough go of it versus San Francisco, but which running back doesn't? Today he faces a Cleveland defense that ranks 31st versus the run. I say he scores not once but twice in this spot. The dud here is Greg Little. The guy gets lots of targets. He gets lots of targets, but he just, as a matter of fact, he's got just as many targets as guys as like Vincent Jackson and Anquan Boldin, Victor Cruz, Greg Jennings. But his yards per catch is pretty low at 10.4. He only has one touchdown all year. This is playoff time. You can't be messing around with a kid who's wet behind the ears and now has Seneca Wallace tossing him the pill. Greg Little is a big dud here. The sleeper, and, you know, this is a unit that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks now, Arizona's defense. This is a home game for Arizona versus an offense averaging 13 points a game with Seneca Wallace at quarterback and a gimpy Peyton Hillis, who was last seen cursing up a storm versus the Steelers because of pain caused by a hip strain. So he's not 100%. And I say look for some sacks here as well. The Browns have allowed 33 sacks in 13 games. I think Arizona's defense goes off here. I love the Cardinals in this one. I'll go with Arizona 26, Cleveland 10.
Yeah, I have a similar score. I have a 24-7. I can't see Cleveland getting the double digits. And, you know, speaking of the Browns, what are they going to do in the offseason, Rev? I mean, boy, oh boy, they're probably going to finish 5-11 or 4-12. That'll put them at a pretty decent draft pick. We've talked about it before. They got to get a quarterback, don't they?
Unfortunately, yes. But I don't know if they have the right coach to lead him to the promised land. I mean, Shurmur is a guy who, you take a look at him last year with the Rams. I mean, what did he do with the Rams to deserve a head coaching job? The Rams are ranked like 26th in total offense last year. And now he comes to the Browns, and the quarterback does much worse. Colt McCoy has regressed. This running game has gone down. And the receivers, even a guy like Greg Little, who, you know, everybody expected him to be the number one target. I mean, again, he only has one touchdown all year. I don't even know if they have the right coach. They certainly don't have the right quarterback. They need more receivers. They could use another running back. Peyton Hillis is not going to be there next year. I mean, this team has nothing. What they do have is they have some pieces on defense. But defense alone gets you nowhere. And so, I don't know. They have a lot of work to do. And they're clearly behind the rest of those teams in their division. And so, I think, you know, this is a, you have to consider this team a rebuilding squad right now at this point. And they might be about 2 or 3 years away from being a halfway decent team.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, coming into the season, I kind of saw them on the same level as the Seattle Seahawks as far as a team that was rebuilding and had some pieces in place. But Pete Carroll's managed to turn that roster over and still field a pretty competitive team with a positive attitude and some optimism as far as the fan base and the players go for the future. I don't see it in Cleveland. It's making me wonder, does Holmgren have a clue? I mean, has he lost the plot? Is it time to just – they're never going to get rid of him. And he gave Shurmur a vote of confidence, and a legitimate one, I think. And I think he believes that Colt McCoy is an NFL quarterback. So this team, they're in very bad shape for the foreseeable future. I don't see it getting turned around at all. I don't think they need a quarterback. And to me, if I'm a Browns fan, you could forget my season ticket if that's the way they're going. I don't care for it at all. As far as Arizona goes, to me, I think they have their own quarterback problem. I think Skelton's going to start today. Cobb not ready yet. But Kevin Cobb, man, I mean, this team is not that far away from being very competitive in the NFC, and I think Cobb's holding them back. I just think they obviously, we thought at the time they overpaid, but it's pretty apparent now they overpaid, and I'm not even sure Cobb's better than Skelton over the long term.
I think Skelton's a better quarterback. And this has been Ken Whisenhunt's biggest bugaboo. Ever since Kurt Warner went into retirement, he hasn't been able to find a decent quarterback. You take a look at last year. He went into the season with Derek Anderson as his quarterback, and we all know how that ended up.
Sure.
Ken Whisenhunt's a good coach, but if you can't find the right quarterback, that's going to hurt you, and that might cost him his job down the line. So right now, I think you try to develop Skelton. The defense is picking it up. They do have a good running game, and going into next year, it should be even better. I think going into the draft, if they see a quarterback that they like, they should certainly take him because I'm not buying Kevin Cobb. They definitely paid too much to get him, and from what I've seen, I don't think the guy is a starter. I think he's a number two quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think that's the kind of guy you want to have on your roster, but only in case of an injury. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what you want for depth, is a guy like that as your backup who can come in and at least be somewhat competent, but he's not a guy who's taking your team to the heights. And I see some debate going on, of all things, about Seneca Wallace's scrambling ability. you're certainly going to find out today. But the bottom line is this year and last year and the year before, going back to 2009, the guy has not been a good scrambler. I mean, he might be able to get away from the pass rush, but he is not a guy who's going to gain a lot of yards on the ground. I mean, I think what's the most he's ever had in one season, I think he's played, you know what, at most 13, 14 games maybe when he was in Seattle. I think he maybe had 125 yards scrambling in 1 year, so I don't know how you're basing that, you know, saying he's got a good scrambling ability. You know, I know he came out of Iowa State and he was a dual threat there, but, you know, this ain't the Big 12. This is the big leagues, and I haven't seen a lot of scrambling ability out of Seneca Wallace, Rev. He's not much more than a backup to me in any event.
Yeah, I mean, scrambling ability is nice, but scrambling ability alone doesn't score you a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, he's not running the ball 8 times for 70 yards, and it's just not happening. I don't see it. Oh, man, Cardinals. We're talking up the Cardinals, man. It's very, very interesting. A couple games left. One of personal interest to you, Rev, is your Ravens Sunday night going into San Diego. And, you know, lo and behold, the Chargers playing well offensively when the games essentially don't matter very much. But the stud here is Ray Rice. He is red hot. 300-plus yards and 2 touchdowns rushing the ball over the last 2. San Diego's run defense giving up almost 130 yards a game. It is Rice-a-roni time in San Diego. I'm sure he's not upset. He'll be playing in decent weather as well. Vincent Jackson, I'll tell you, this guy, every week it's good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And for those owners, this week is supposed to be a good week. I'm going to go with that. Logic or not, I think Vincent Jackson has a good week this week. Baltimore not invincible against the pass, and Phillip Rivers heating up a little bit. I like what I've seen from Phillip Rivers of late, but I wouldn't start him unless I had to today. Baltimore going to put a hurt on. I think the dud in this game is Mike Tolbert. As I mentioned before, he is not going to be able to score from inside the 10 on this defense on the ground. Not a chance. Single-digit fantasy points over his last five games. It is not going to be any different today for Mike Tolbert. I would get him out of there. I'd start Ben Tate. I'd even start LaDainian Tomlinson over him today. That's how much I don't like Tolbert. Think the sleeper here, not that you can call one of the best five defenses in the league a sleeper, but people are going to assume that San Diego defense is hot, so they're going to score points, and it's not going to look good for the Baltimore defense. I disagree. I think although the San Diego offense has been hot, I think Baltimore is going to see that as an incentive to bust some heads. They need the game, do the Ravens. I'm not sold on Rivers having figured out how to avoid those turnovers. I think it's more a matter of the opposition. I think he's going to get pressured all day long. I think he's going to cough the ball up. I think Baltimore's going to sack him. They're going to get the turnovers, and they're going to win this game 26-17, Rev.
I really don't have a good feeling about this game either way. You can make an argument for the Ravens winning the game, and look, the Ravens front seven is going to be ferocious as usual, and I don't like San Diego's offensive line, and Rivers is not a scrambler, unlike Seneca Wallace. But the thing you have to look at with the San Diego Chargers is that, number one, they play well in December, and number two, their receivers are all healthy right now, and a key guy that I brought up a few weeks ago is Malcolm Floyd. When he's in there, that's a different offense. Rivers plays much better. As a matter of fact, this season, with Malcolm Floyd out of the lineup, the Chargers are 0-4. With Floyd in the lineup, they are 6-3. I'm going to go with San Diego here, and I could be completely wrong because I don't have a good feeling about this game either way, but I'll go with San Diego here, 27-24.
All right. Fair enough. And I know that might be a little of your paranoia because you do support the Ravens. Word coming over the wire here, those who care about IDP and about the Giants in general, Justin Tuck will play today for the Giants against the Redskins, so says Coach Coughlin. Back to the chat room. Skull Monkeys with a question here. He needs one in a PPR, Rev. Brandon Lloyd, Mario Manningham, or Donald Driver, a guy you mentioned earlier as being a bit of a sleeper. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Lloyd, to me, as good as he is, I think he's going to be a non-factor today just because of the quarterback he's playing with, Kellen Clemens. And the Rams did not put up any points. So to me, it's between either Manningham or Driver. I think both have potential this week. I think I might go with Manningham over Driver just by a touch, just because the Green Bay Packers, they'll jump out early. And I think maybe at one point they might rest some of their guys. They might go to the running game a little sooner than anticipated. Whereas the Giants, I think that game's going to be pretty competitive between the Giants and the Redskins, and so I think that Manningham will probably be needed in the fourth quarter, whereas Driver, you know, he'll be out there, but they won't be throwing the ball a whole heck of a lot. So I think I'll take Manningham over Driver.
I'm going to disagree and go with Driver, and that's probably because I can't get the vision of Mario Manningham dropping that pass in the end zone last week. I'm down on him like Big Texas. I'm going with Donald Driver, although I think it's close. I would definitely avoid Brandon Lloyd. I just don't trust the – I mean, how can you trust the St. Louis offense there, especially when it's being spearheaded by a guy who'd have trouble starting in Canada in Kellen Clemens, as far as I'm concerned. He's just got nothing going on. The Rams have nothing going on offensively. Sort of feel bad for Steven Jackson. But, you know, you got to play with the hand you're dealt, and that's pretty much the hand Brandon Lloyd has been dealt, traded to the Rams, and he finds himself in an awful situation when if he was in Denver, boy, oh, boy, would things be different. Anyway, what do you think of your Ravens going into the playoffs, Rev? They're going to be there. Let's assume you know, who knows? They may be a wild card. They might win a division. Things looking good for them as far as winning the division. But what is the key to their success as far as the playoffs go? Is it Joe Flacco? I think it is.
Yeah, well, that's because Joe Flacco is one of the most inconsistent quarterbacks around. He has shown some signs of progress, though. He has proven that he can make stick throws in pressure situations this year as opposed to past years. So I think you can win with Joe Flacco. And obviously they have the running game. They have the front seven that can put pressure on the quarterback. I think this team is in pretty good shape going into the playoffs. I think they're a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I have no doubt that Flacco can get it done. I'm just worried about him getting it done. As you said, he's inconsistent. I worry about him getting it done for three games. You know, can we see three good Joe Flaccos? You know, with Torrey Smith in there, gives him an option. Who knows what Lee Evans is going to bring? And you know Bolden's going to bring it across the middle and basically do whatever he needs to do. And Ray Rice is there. The key is, will Flacco be able to perform for three straight games? I don't have as much faith in him as I do in some of the other quarterbacks named Brady and Roethlisberger. But it depends, again, on the matchup. If they win a division, it helps them immensely. They'll get a week of rest. They'll feel confident about themselves. And, you know, depending on who they have to play, I could see the Ravens ending up in the Super Bowl, especially if Roethlisberger is not 100%. And they've already beaten the Steelers twice. I don't think they will beat them a third time if they play them again. So it'd be in their best interest, I think, to avoid the Steelers in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, Rev, you're a fan of the Ravens. Do you want that hat trick, or do you want to avoid them?
No, you don't avoid them. I think that every time you should relish a challenge like that. Look, they've already proven that, you know, obviously they can beat the Steelers. I don't think they're afraid of them anymore. Honestly, I don't think they are. And I think Joe Flacco has something to prove, you know. Look, in the offseason, a guy like Lamar Woodley called him out, and he even went as far as saying that the Ravens will never win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco at quarterback. So if you're a competitor, Joe Flacco, I mean, you want to go up against the Steelers, and you want to beat them as many times as you can. I think this is a nice test here this week for the Baltimore Ravens, because the one thing that they have to prove is that they can go on the road and they can beat and they can smack down some inferior competition. And I do think San Diego is the inferior team. But they have to do it on the road. You know, this is a long trip for them. You know, we already saw what they did in Seattle, which was nothing. We already saw what they did in Jacksonville, which was an embarrassing game a few weeks ago on Monday Night Football, where they lost inexplicably. So, you know, if they could win this game, I think this is going to be huge for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you, although I must say, they win today, it's entirely possible that they will not have to prove it on the road in the playoffs, and I think that would serve them well. You know, if they get that top seed, or even, you know, even if they lose today, I still think they got a shot at that, because who knows what's going to happen with the Steelers and their quarterback situation. But, you know, I agree with you. I think Flacco does have a lot to prove, but that doesn't mean he's going to prove it. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in him. I need to see it. And we'll see. I mean, I could see them playing the Jets in the first round, and, man, that would just be a killer. I feel good for whoever the winner plays the next week will probably be in good shape, because that would just be an all-out blood fest in that game.
Dogfight, yep.
Yeah, all right. Questions from the chat room. Randy Gugino asks, Tim Tebow or Cam Newton today? I'm going with Tebow. I think he's going to light up New England. I don't have that much confidence in Cam going against the Texans. What do you think?
Yeah, he has a much better matchup. I like Tebow.
Yeah, definitely going with the matchup. Let me see if we got anything else here in the chat room above that. Antonio Brown is risky with Big Ben. Should I give him a go? I would, Skull Monkeys. I think the Rev is in agreement. Brown is good enough that, it matters. He'll do better with Ben in there, but I think he'll still be able to make his way with Charlie Batch at quarterback. Aaron Hernandez question. I mean, look, Hernandez or Kevin Walter is the question from Easy E. God rest his soul. Aaron Hernandez or Kevin Walter, you're right. Branch is out. Andre Johnson's out. He has Gronkowski. It's non-PPR. I don't have any problem starting Hernandez over Walter. I mean, He's going to get more targets. He's obviously has a much better quarterback. I think that game's going to be an offensive bonanza. Definitely Hernandez over Walter, like, correct, Rev?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Walter is a guy who, you know, he gives you sporadic production. Maybe every 3 or 4 weeks he might do something. I think you go with Hernandez. Don't mess around.
All right,
there.
Here we go. Mac Bizzo with a flex question. Cedric Benson or Jordy Nelson? I know we usually go with the running back here, but, boy, it's tough to stay away from anybody in that Green Bay offense, right?
Yeah, you know, Cedric Benson's a guy who's solid. That's what he is. He's solid. He'll get you most weeks. He'll get you 70 or 80 yards. He might get you a touchdown. But he's never a guy that I envision going off of like 160, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's not a very explosive runner. He's pretty much a straight-ahead guy. He'll get you 20 carries. He's a big, tough guy. But, I mean, Jordy Nelson's got much bigger upside. And especially if it's a PPR league, I think you got to go with Jordy Nelson.
I don't know, man. That Rams rush defense is so bad. And I saw Benson last week. He did pretty well against a really good Texans run defense. I'm going to go with Benson, man. I think this could be the day where he has, like, you know, he's going to get his 25 carries. I think he could hit a buck 25 or a buck 50 against the Rams. That's how bad the Rams are, man.
I understand. Maybe a buck 25. I don't know if I see him going for a buck 50. That's a little high for him.
I know it's tough to sit Nelson, but I really it's not going to be flashy, but I really like Cedric Benson today. Eazy-E with another one. Debating starting a 49ers D against the Steelers over Seattle in Chicago. No way, dude. I mean, I know the 49ers defense has been solid, but the Steelers offense is pretty solid. Look, they're going to score more with Roethlisberger in there. But Chicago has done absolutely nothing offensively, and Seattle's defense is good. I mean, you start the Niners against the Steelers. To me, you're asking for a mediocre showing. And I think if you go with Seattle, you're looking at a top five unit. Am I wrong to think Seattle's the start over the Niners here?
Hey, look, you got to go with Seattle here. I mean, you take a look at that Chicago offense. They have no quarterback. They really don't have much in the way of game breakers. Matt Forte's not there any longer. I mean, who really scares you on that offense? You want to give me Johnny Knox? But who's he got throwing him the football? Who's their tight end? You know, I mean, it's going to be a low-scoring game. Chicago's going to play it close to the vest. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. I'm going to go with Seattle here. I mean, look, you could say what you want about Pittsburgh and Big Ben being hurt and all of that, but they have game breakers in that offense.
Yep.
You know, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, you know, Rashard Mendenhall. You know, he probably's not going to have a good game, but, I mean, Heath Miller's a serviceable tight end. They got weapons in that offense. Now, you got to go with Seattle here.
I agree with you. I mean, I think if Roethlisberger doesn't play, I could see playing the Niners. But, man, I mean, I just the Bears have done absolutely nothing. So if you have scoring bonuses, and pretty much every league I know does, I can't see the Bears scoring a lot in that game. And
even with Charlie Batch,
you know, they're creative enough and they have enough skill players, as you said, Rev, they can put up 20 points. I don't care who they're against. And
I don't think Charlie Batch is that bad of a quarterback. The problem with Charlie Batch is that he's going to get hurt at some point. You know, you can't count on him from one game to the next. But if you just put him in there for one game, the guy is smart enough and he's crafty enough to get you by. Whereas Caleb Haney, I mean, this guy doesn't even belong in the NFL.
I don't disagree with you, but it's always shaky to have a guy who hasn't played a lot come in on a big stage against a very good defense. You know, weapons, regardless of the weapons, it's going to be a tough ask for Charlie Batch, but I still like Seattle. I just don't see how Chicago gets it done. Speaking of Chicago, finally, talk about that Sam Hurd situation, Ralph. I mean, is that insane? I mean, the amount of drugs this guy requested from an undercover agent is just mind-boggling. And, you know, rumors of him dealing the players in the NFL,
yep.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to come out who it was. I mean, the Bears did the right thing. I'm not sure and apparently he was under investigation during the time that the Bears were looking at him. I don't know how they failed to realize that. I'm not saying they didn't do their due diligence, but I think this will wisen teams up now, and I think they're going to look a little bit harder when they sign guys they're not all too familiar with. Rev, what do you make of this whole thing? It's insane.
It's crazy. I certainly want to see that list of client of NFL clients that he had. Now, the other thing you have to wonder about is, what was Chicago thinking about investing in three Dallas Cowboy rejects this past offseason? Roy Williams, Marion Barber III, and Sam Hurd.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. What were they thinking? I think Sam Hurd is nothing but a bit player on top of everything else you said about him. And Marion Barber III and Roy Williams, I mean, both of those guys are on the downsides of their career. So Jerry Angelo has done a poor job in that regard.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, you could state a case that Marion Barber has essentially cost his team any chance of the playoffs with his performance last week. I swear to you, Rev, I sat there watching the game, and the only thing that went through my mind after the fumble, and especially going out of bounds like that, was he's got to be on the take. I mean, I know it's a terrible thing to say, but both of those mistakes to me happening within, 10 minutes of each other, almost inconceivable for a veteran player. And say what you want about Barber, but he's always played hard, and he's always played a somewhat intelligent game. And those are two extraordinarily uncharacteristic mistakes. You know, do the math, conspiracy theorists. You got this whole Sam Hurd thing going on. You got Marion Barber making mistakes. I'm not saying they're connected. I'm saying it's pretty suspicious that Marion Barber runs out of bounds and fumbles the ball when they're moving into field goal range. I'd get rid of him immediately. I don't like the smell of what I saw.
And then what's really funny about the whole thing is that then you hear Roy Williams talking about Sam Hurd, how he's let down the team. If anybody should be talking about any other player letting down a team, it shouldn't be Roy Williams.
Yeah, it wasn't just a pound of cocaine, easy. It was a lot more than that, and on a weekly basis. I mean, the amount of drugs that this guy was asking for is just extraordinary. I mean, that's a syndicate he's got going on there in Chicago. How people didn't know. I mean, that's just crazy business here. All right, back to the games themselves. Randy Gugino, interesting question here, Rev. Demaryius Thomas or Ryan Grant at the flex? I've been visiting the Sam Hurd school. I'm very high on Demaryius Thomas this week. I'm going with him over Ryan Grant. What do you think? I know you like Grant a little bit.
Yeah. Man, it's a tough one. I like both guys this week. I guess, I'll tell you, if it's a PPR league, I'll go with Demaryius Thomas. Denver, I think, is going to be playing from behind, but I still think it's going to be a competitive game between those two teams. A lot of passing, a lot of points, great matchup for Demaryius Thomas and the Broncos. But if it's a non-PPR league, I think I'll go with Ryan Grant. I think he scores this week. I think he gets lots of carries. And we saw last week that Ryan Grant, he's got some juice left in those legs. I mean, yes. He showed nothing prior to that. But, again, it's just one of those cases where sometimes with some of these backs, once they get a certain number of carries, they get going and they remember, what they were. A guy like Brandon Jacobs, we saw him last week, once he got into a rhythm, he put together some very nice runs, and I think Ryan Grant could be that same type of runner. So if it's a non-PPR league, I'll go with Ryan Grant.
Interesting. Well, we'll see. I definitely like Thomas in that one. We have another interesting one from Tub. You can't make the club in the tub, but you can ask fantasy questions if you are Tub. Non-PPR league, Rev, Nate Washington or Jeremy Maclin?
Well, Jeremy Maclin's got a tough matchup. Nate Washington's got a great matchup. I'll go with Nate Washington this week. I like both of those Tennessee receivers. I do like the Colts to win in an upset, but I do think there's going to be plenty of yards for both of those receivers. I'll go with Nate Washington. He's been red hot lately. That's my guy.
Yeah, I'm a little – the bad matchup for Macklin has me worried about him, but also his health. I mean, try to give it a go too soon last week, and I'm a little more confident in the health of Nate Washington, and you combine that with the fact that he has a much, much better matchup, and I think you definitely go with Nate Washington there. You know, I don't know what to make of the Titans, man. I mean, I wanted to write them off, but to me – I think they might sneak in. Do you think they sneak into the playoffs, Rev? I mean, they're 7-6 now. They win today. They're 8-6. I mean,
yeah, I don't see it. I don't really think much of that team. Really, I mean, does that defense scare you? I mean, the running game, Chris Johnson. He's had some decent games lately, but still. He's not making guys miss like he used to. He's had some great games when the matchups have been really, really good, but I can't trust him. And the quarterbacks, Matt Hasselbeck, is he a guy you can trust? I mean, he's a guy that he gets hurt late in the season a lot. We already saw that take place. Jake Locker, a lot of guys love him, but he's a guy who's very raw. He's got a great arm. He's a great athlete and all that. But, I mean, he's a guy who's very raw, and I could see him, you know, having a bad game where, you know, defense studies him a little bit, and he has one of those, like, 3 or 4 interception games. So, I don't know. I don't think Tennessee's there yet. You know, they're certainly a lot better than I thought they were going to be, but I don't think they're there yet. I don't think they deserve to make the playoffs.
Well, I know you have the Colts winning that game today, but you know, let's say Tennessee manages to win that. They host Jacksonville. They're looking at 9-6, and then they have a game at Houston, last game of the season, and their competitor for that wild card is probably going to be the Jets. And the Jets have Philly, the Giants, and at Miami to finish up. You know, they need
to win. What about Cincinnati though? What about Cincinnati?
Okay. I mean, look, Cincinnati, obviously a legitimate contender there. At St. Louis, fine. Arizona and Baltimore. To me, that's the hardest of those three schedules. And, you know, Cincinnati 7-6, they're definitely going to lose one of those games, bro. So they're going to end up 9-7 to me, tops.
I mean, if they win the next two games, Cincinnati, you know, maybe Baltimore doesn't play as hard that last week. Who knows? You know, I mean,
well, Baltimore's certainly going to need the game.
We'll have to see about that. It's too early to speculate at this point.
Yeah, it's just interesting the possibility that, you know, I mean, it does look like it's going to come down to Tennessee, the Jets, and maybe Cincinnati for that last wild card spot. And who knows, maybe Denver or the Raiders end up with 10 wins too. It could get very confusing. But I'll tell you.
Hey, look, it's certainly possible for Tennessee to make the playoffs. I just don't view them as a playoff-caliber team, though.
I don't either, and I think that's the strange thing. If Tennessee somehow makes it over the Jets, it's going to be sort of counterintuitive because, to me, the Jets are clearly a better team. But you know what? If you're the Jets, make it safe, win the last three, and get to 11, and you're making the playoffs. There's no question about that. All right, Rev. Heard a lot of speculation about Ben Roethlisberger going into San Francisco. Should he play? Shouldn't he play? Answer the question, will he play, and what impact will that have fantasy-wise?
I think he does play. And it won't be that same Ben Roethlisberger we're all used to seeing. He's not going to be able to scramble as effectively as he has. He'll take a few sacks in this game, but he'll tough it out. And he'll unleash some good throws. He'll use his playmakers. But as far as studs go, I do like Antonio Brown in this game. He is the number two receiver in Pittsburgh, and he's here to stay. Pittsburgh will have to throw the ball in this one, as the Niners always take away the running game. And Brown is a guy who can beat you with shallow routes or even go deep. His run after the catch skills are second to none, and he can make even the best cornerbacks look foolish. Look at what he did to Joe Hayden last week. Since week 8, Brown has never had less than 67 yards, and now quietly he's very close to reaching 1,000 yards on the season. He currently has 925 yards, very remarkable. The dud here is Rashard Mendenhall. Remember how he got stuffed 4 straight times versus Cleveland? The Browns are ranked 31st versus the run. Just imagine what the Niners are going to do to him. It's not all his fault, but you can't start Mendenhall under any circumstances, in my opinion, this week. Another dud is Vernon Davis. He's had to block more lately due to the 49ers' struggling pass protection, and he's only averaged 3.4 fantasy points per game over the past 3 weeks. The sleeper here is Michael Crabtree. Alex Smith won't have time to go deep versus the Steelers' pass rush, and he's going to have to connect to Crabtree on a number of quick hitters underneath. Crabtree's not going to be great, but I think he can put up maybe something in the area of 6 catches for 65 yards. But I do like the Steelers in this one. They're well-rested, and I think they're the better team. I'll go with the Steelers 21-16 over San Francisco.
Yeah, I like the score. I have it 20-14 for the Steelers. I feel like I've broken record here. I say it every week. I just don't think the Niners have enough offense to go anywhere in the playoffs. I mean, it's nothing against Alex Smith, nothing against Frank Gore. They just don't rely on the offense to do anything. And I think when you get into the playoffs against the caliber of offenses you're going against, you can't just flip the switch and be a 24, 28-point scoring team. It just doesn't happen that way. Interesting question, Rev, not fantasy-related. Big Tex asks, who's on the cover of Madden next year, Cam Newton or Tim Tebow? Man, come on. It's got to be Tim Tebow. Any opportunity to put him anywhere, people are going to take advantage of it. The guy sells whatever he's attached to. Got to be Tim, yeah?
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if you heard, though, you know those, what do they call it, those fatheads that they stick on the wall. I think Tim Tebow has got the top three best-selling, or he's in the top ten. Three of his fatheads are in the top ten bestsellers of those fatheads that they stick up on the wall.
Yeah,
you something about his popularity.
I think he sold 5,000 in 2 days. They don't sell 5,000 the whole season. I mean,
yeah.
It is Tebow mania. And I think, boy, oh boy, if they win that game, that's just going to be insane. I mean, I don't think it's anywhere near as difficult, and I think that spread is way too high. I see it happening. I could see them definitely winning that game. And, look, Brady's going to be pressured, but he's going to make it work. He's heard about Tebow all week. Tebow steadily increased in his passing yards, 236 yards last week. New England's pass defense is awful. You got Welker, you got Gronkowski. They're going to do what they do. They're the top at their position. But I love Demaryius Thomas. I love him this week. 3 touchdowns in the last two, going against that New England secondary. He's going to score again. The dud to me, and I hate saying it because I'm in the playoffs rather than our league, and I have him going. I have no choice with Matt Forte hurt. And that's the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I mean, 1 week I can forgive, but 2 weeks? The guys have had 11 carries combined over the last 2 weeks. I mean, are you kidding? With all the passing and the other running backs, it is not worth the risk to start the law firm if you can help it. Unfortunately, I can't help it. The sleeper here, I kind of like me some Eric Decker. This is how bad the New England secondary is, that the number two target on a Tim Tebow-led offense is worth a start for sure. I think 70 yards and a touchdown is certainly well within the realm of possibility. It's going to be an absolute shootout. I think the Patriots win, but Tebow will do no disservice to himself. New England wins at 38-34, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, Deion Branch will not play in this game, but I think the Pats get it done barely in Denver. Rev, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll go New England 30-27.
All right, now let's wrap it up with that. Man, do you like the Steelers? We both like the Steelers to win, but you don't know. I mean, if Roethlisberger plays, I think they win relatively easily. But if he doesn't play, it's going to be interesting to see Charlie Batchard. Hey, man, where's Dennis Dixon at, Rev?
Hey, you know, Dennis Dixon is a guy who can run around a little bit, but Charlie Batch, he's an experienced guy. If I need him for one game, I can trust Charlie Batch. The problem is that when you need him for that second or third game, that's where he gives you problems, and that's when he gets banged up. He's an extremely fragile guy. I mean, if it comes right down to it, you might want to start Charlie Batch if you're the Steelers, and then sprinkle in a little Dennis Dixon for some wildcat plays or stuff of that ilk.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and now, you know, let's ask the ultimate question. If you're in a quarterback bind, is it worth picking up Charlie Batch?
You got to be in a real bind to pick him up.
I mean,
if your other quarterback, I guess, is, what, Kyle Orton, maybe you consider picking him up.
You know, what if you had Jay Cutler and Alex Smith as your quarterbacks?
Yeah, that's a good point. I would take him over Alex Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I really think you gotta consider it, man. Oh, my goodness. What is going on here? Phillip Rivers, Kyle Orton? You got to be kidding me, Phillip Rivers.
Well, let me ask you this. On the subject of Phillip Rivers, I'll give you a better question. Phillip Rivers or Rex Grossman?
I'm going with Grossman.
Really?
I mean, I think they both have a penchant for throwing picks, but I think it's a much better matchup for Grossman. The weather's not crazy here today, and the Giants' secondary is always susceptible to whatever that gets thrown against them. Look, I know Rivers is a better player, but I just think the matchup is so conducive to a high score from Grossman. I can see Grossman throwing for 275 and two or three touchdowns and maybe an interception. I could see
two touchdowns and four interceptions from Grossman, though. That's the thing.
I can't imagine that Giants secondary getting four picks today. I can't see it happening. And, you know, look, I think Rivers throws for 250 and a couple of touchdowns, but I think he's going to fumble. He's going to throw a pick or two. I don't like the San Diego offense today. Rev, I mean, I don't want to close the show out with this, but it is in there. And, Tubb, you are right. It is rare, and it is annoying. A kicker question. Mike Nugent, John Casey, or David Akers? I'm going with Casey. Usually I'd go with Akers, and he's hooked me up all season, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of scoring opportunities. And, man, the Saints are always in scoring range, so I'd go with Casey.
I don't know. I think I'll go with Nugent. I think that Cincinnati shouldn't have any problems putting up points in that game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even
he'll hit a couple of field. I think he's good for at least two field goals against the Rams.
Truth. So, man, I'm ready. I hope I get home early from that Giant game today at MetLife. I almost said at the Meadowlands, at MetLife Stadium, so I can see what's going on in Denver in the Mile High between Brady and Tebow. I mean, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't think there's going to be an awful lot of running done in that game.
No.
And, man, that Denver crowd, I have some people out there, having lived out there for 10 years. They are absolutely insane over this Tebow stuff. You think we're getting it in national media? The local media in Denver, when they had Elway coming up, when I was out there and he was winning and doing what he did, it was crazy. People painting their houses orange. This goes beyond any of that. I mean, every single person in Denver is buying into it. A few people are turned off by the whole religious aspect of it. But the bottom line is the guy's 7-1, and he's doing things that nobody's seen before, Rev. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, you could say that he's getting lucky, but, I mean, he keeps doing it week after week. The guy plays with a lot of confidence. And that's, you know, you could talk about, okay, he's got a bad delivery, he doesn't throw the ball well, he's not accurate, all of that. But the guy's got a lot of confidence, and the team is behind him. So, you know, that's one of those things, one of his best attributes right there. And it's funny, I was reading an article where, you know, they asked Tim Tebow, and they said, they think, how do you compare with Alex Smith? And he said, respectfully, look, I've won two national championships at the collegiate level, and I've won a Heisman Trophy. I don't think you can compare me to Alex Smith. And he was absolutely right. And the way he spoke wasn't in an arrogant way, but in a confident way. So you got to love his confidence. You got to love his leadership skills. And so he's got all that working for him right now.
I agree with you. I mean, the guy rarely says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing, and it's hard not to respect his football ability, even if you don't buy into the whole religious aspect of it. You know, the guy is performing, and you kind of have to admire that about him, and what he's done with that franchise is pretty impressive, even if he's been the beneficiary of prevent defense and misplayed defense. You still got to give it up to him. All right, that's a wrap. We'll talk about that next week. And remember, next week we will be on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. so you have a Merry Christmas on Sunday and don't have to get up early and listen to the show, besides all the games are on Saturday. Anyway, for the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, I am Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel. Guys, it's the playoffs. Me and Ralph have our games. We'll tell you how we did next week. I wish you all the best of luck. Stay warm, go Giants, and enjoy the games.